welcome Angela Keaton. She's a development director of antiwar.com, a site devoted to the cause of non-interventionism and read by people of all stripes, libertarians, pacifists, leftists, greens, independents, and many on the right who actually agree that we should get out of these wars. How are you doing, Angela? Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Are you also libertarianism seems a very part of your message. In fact, aren't you seeking the libertarian nomination for president this cycle?
Oh gosh, that's still up. That's a wonderful obscurantist prank.
That's a prank?
It has a context in a different with a different group of people. I'm not seeking any nomination. In fact, I'm not much one for conventional politics. Actually,
so you're not seeking the Libertarian Party candidacy for president?
No.
Oh, because I've seen a number of things on Facebook and elsewhere that you are.
Oh, those kids are great. I mean, yeah, I'm glad I have personal fans from from other activism. But no, that's not. But antiwar.com, we're not a partisan organization, and we don't really.
Well, I'm not suggesting you are. I just wanted to understand if you were also a candidate for the Libertarian Party candidate for president.
No, I'm not.
Okay. What happened to the anti-war movement?
What happened? I guess the snarky answer would be that neoconservatives and nationalists were right about moderate liberals' antipathy to Bush. It's more complex than that, and I can break it down a little bit. But essentially, the critics were right, and of course, libertarians generally have a kind of a cynical attitude about these things anyway. So it wasn't entirely shocking. But what has been kind of shocking is that there's been so much over-identification by moderate liberals with Obama. I mean, there's a very heavy-duty partisanship and loyalty to the Democratic Party, and they're very afraid of weakening the president by protesting. And they're willing to suffer a lot of moral indignity, including our presence in several wars.
So you think the reason there's no real loud marching in the streets type anti-war movement is because it'll hurt Obama, and that's why people are staying away?
That's a large part of it. Barack Obama was very good at kind of cloaking. He's good at cloaking violence in a humanitarian garb. I mean, he was very honest with potential voters about how he wanted to expand the war into Afghanistan. Expand the war in Afghanistan and expand it into Pakistan. And he wrote quite a bit of. I mean, he tried to create an anti-war image for himself based on one speech. But in fact, when he was a senator, every time he had an opportunity to vote against funding, he voted in favor of it. So I mean, he was never particularly good on the war issue, but he did a very good job at making himself appear that way, or the PR people, or whomever does these things.
So what does an anti-war person do? I mean, obviously, either he'll get reelected, or it's unlikely a Republican who probably would favor war would get elected, but likely he'll get reelected. So what's an anti-war person to do?
Well, I mean, make a different focus and really be critical. Those of us within the anti-war movement need to be very critical and examine what things we've done wrong. I mean, some of these things I would say would be, our use of strident language. We're terribly exclusionary. Generally, most anti-war events, the protests that happen tend to be run by, however well-meaning, people that I do respect on the hard left, but they terribly exclusionary. It's not very broad. These anti-war rallies are never very broad-based. They usually cover a wide range of things, everything from Freedom of Media to gay marriage. And however one might feel about those things, the fact is the war gets short shrift. And it's also, too, I mean, without the war getting the focus, and without an anti-war movement that's really broad-based, it was just never large enough to make a difference to really merit media coverage.
Isn't it also because there's not a draft, and that's one of the reasons why there's not a large anti-war movement?
Well, that's certainly a reason, that's certainly not a reason to have a draft. But yes, that's a reason. Because, I mean, the wars themselves, I mean, most people you speak to, there haven't been terribly many American casualties. The war is not covered in graphic detail on the major news networks. I mean, you're not seeing, body bags. And also, these are oceans away. No one knows someone who's been hurt in the war or maimed in the war. These countries are places that are very far-flung.
So is Vietnam. But also, it's costing us a fortune. I mean, people are complaining about budgets, but we're throwing all this money at war.
Well, we are, and this is a wonderful, and that's a wonderful way to speak to conservatives and Tea Party people about the war. I mean, talk to them with the facts and figures about how much we actually spend. Break it down. There's wonderful websites that do that. They tell people what part of your tax bill is going to support the U.S. presence in other countries, and as well as foreign aid and other things that seem to instigate violence. So people need to, what they really need to do is maybe a little less strident rhetoric and a little more basic facts about how much we're spending over there, how much is the long-term projection. Those sorts of things would be a wonderful way of reaching to other people who normally aren't in the anti-war movement to get them to see the issue differently.
So how do you grow the anti-war movement to make it as widespread as it really needs to be to gain traction and have an effect on policy?
It needs to do things that merit media coverage. One of the things that we're working on with something called comehomeamerica.us is that, you know, we're dropping the ideology at the door, whether it be leftist or libertarian. We're framing our language in ways that people can better understand things. Like, instead of, let's say, occupation or imperialism, words that tend to put people on edge, use words that the other person might understand. Talk about a lighter footprint, a more constitutional foreign policy, a realistic foreign policy, something that's more humble, and make people understand what that means. A gentle pullback is going to maybe trigger some things in people where they think, maybe the world won't collapse if we're not fighting wars in five different countries. But also, too, it's a pro-peace movement. Instead of saying an anti-war movement, give people something to work towards, peace and a general attitude and mindset of nonviolence. And the other thing, too, is that the movement, and this is a hard thing for me to say because I come from, a more radical approach to these things, but we really need to do outreach to Christians, middle America, white men, the middle class, and just have a sense, just respect bourgeois sensibilities when we conduct these protests so that we're reaching out to as many people. Peace is patriotic, and that's the one thing that, there's a long history. There was an early history in the last century about, which it gets terribly labeled as isolationism, which is not what this is about. But, it used to be something of pride that we didn't go across the ocean. We didn't want to ever engage this kind of violence.
Let me see if I can squeeze a call in here. Randall in Buffalo. Hello, Randall. Go ahead.
Hi. I'll tell you exactly what happened to the anti-war movement. It was two pieces. Oh, and this is also the answer as to what happened to, how the Democrats contributed to the budget problem. Was in 2006, the Democrats took control of Congress, and we were wusses. We refused to play hardball to reduce the spending on the Iraq war. We refused to impeach Bush for war crimes. And the anti-war movement just began to fizzle and lose faith in the Democrats right there. And then when Obama got elected, he didn't go hard enough at getting out of Iraq. And he went in, I think, too far and too hard back into Afghanistan. There it is. We're all powerless. Even our Democratic people that we elected did nothing for us.
Extremely disappointing to anti-war people. Thank you, sir. It's really, Angela, very disappointing to people on the left like me who thought I was electing an anti-war president.
Well, it does seem like there was a bit of deception there on the part of people who were spinning that Barack Obama was an anti-war president. And a lot of people felt that way. And a lot of people, buyer's remorse, but... I don't condemn people because, people do want to vote for an anti-war candidate. I'm just not sure we are going to have one at the top of either ticket.
Probably not.
That's why I'm talking about, transpartisan coalitions, getting away from partisan politics and really focusing on the issue and also using it to teaching people about the issue ultimately is going to be the most effective.
If people go to antiwar.com, what are they going to find?
They're going to find articles on just about every hot spot where the U.S. We're mostly concerned with U.S. foreign policy since we are people who live in the U.S. and this is, and that's our basis from. But you'll find everything from the best columnists to, just hard news stories and lots of fact sheets about what is actually going on. And it's refreshed every day at midnight Eastern. So you're always getting, you'll know it right away.
All right, Angela, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it very much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your time. Angela Keaton, she is Development Director. At antiwar.com.